We're Elkhorn Computer, and we do commercial repair and setup. With Elkhorn Computer, your business will experience profitability through productivity. Give us a try. Visit elkhorncomputer.com, then give us a call. elkhorncomputer.com. Click the microphone icon for a free mouse pad.
Is Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
It took something unprecedented happening in the first game. Weather cancellation has never happened. I still believe that if Nebraska plays Akron, I think they're 3-0 right now. You can roll your eyes at that. I believe that. Then against Colorado, if Stanley Morgan catches the pass in the end zone, it's in his hands in the end zone. It's a touchdown. Nebraska goes up 35-27 heading into the fourth quarter, and I think they never look back and win that game. Then there's the butterfly effect of maybe Martinez doesn't get hurt in the fourth quarter if Morgan catches that pass. And then even the Martinez play itself. One play. If his knee doesn't get wrenched, if 44 doesn't go cheap and turn and all that, then I think Nebraska beats Troy.
Live from the Nissan of Omaha studio, Game Time with Nick Baugh.
My point is there's this vibe right now of, oh man, this isn't good, doom and gloom, oh my gosh. You know, there's that old saying, things are never as good as you think they are, never as bad as you think they are. I don't think things are as bad as you think they are enough. Stanley Morgan catches that pass, we're having a totally different conversation right now heading to Michigan. If the game on September 1st is played at 2:30 instead of 7 o'clock, I think we're having a different conversation. Now, don't get me wrong, catching passes and making shots and kicking field goals and all this stuff are all a part of the game. It is remarkable how one play can alter how we view things big time.
Only on 1620 The Zone. 1620thezone.com and the 1620 The Zone app.
Scott Chandley, Blackshirt, Super Bowl champ. When you look at the two running plays that went for final two touchdowns for Troy, what did you see from the linebackers in those spots?
Well, anytime you get big plays, explosive plays in the running game, you can always attribute it to somebody not being in their right gap. And a lot of times, not a lot of times, every time, it's somebody not being in a gap because every defense guy is responsible for gaps. Somebody might get hook blocked and you have to replace them. And it's just not having gap integrity. And when that happens, the entire defense breaks down. And like I said, like we picked on the offense, executing on game day, the defense is no different. When you get into game speed, those gaps suddenly change real quickly and you have to be able to anticipate that.
You're listening to Game Time with Nick Baugh.
A plethora, an abundance.
Game Time's mailbag with Nick Baugh starts now. Presented by Oscar's Pizza and Sports Grill, home of the Big O Pizza and Charbuff Wings.
Here's the mail, it never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
Oh, yeah, we do it every Wednesday. It is the mailbag. Some concept you email super producer Corey at 1620thezone.com, C-O-R-E-Y at 1620thezone.com. Anything you want to ask me, serious, silly, doesn't matter. I'll answer these questions. I've not seen any of these questions, so you're going to get a raw, real, gut, dumb answer is what we all want. And again, the best email is going to win some food to Oscars. All right, you ready to do this, Corey?
You've got mail.
First question is from Chad. After finding out about your secret bro life with your brothers Adrian Martinez and Danny Martinez.
Yeah.
I think we established that Adrian's your dad, right?
I could never figure it out after the fact of how we framed that. I almost got the sense at one point, because at one point we said that Adrian was taking Danny and taking us to school. I don't know. We're related.
Maybe he's an older brother.
There you go.
Much older brother.
We'll go with that.
When the three of you play NCAA football on the sticks, who is your go-to team and go-to play that always delivers a touchdown? You can never go wrong with Oregon trips left, open slot, corner, X, out, route, go.
Oh, man, he's got it down, huh? You know, again, the last video game that I played football video game that I played consistently was like NCAA College Football 2001 on PlayStation. So any video game conversation that isn't centered around that or Nintendo 64, Sega, Nintendo, all that stuff, I'm a little lost. But I was always, big shocker, I was always, I liked being Wisconsin, and there was a play.
Weird.
Yeah, there was a play where there was like a tight end seam route that worked every time. Like, a tight end right down the seam, and he would get the safety on his back. You could just, it worked like 60% of the time. It worked every time. And, so I would have to say Adrian Martinez be Nebraska and just run the quarterback draw would be his go-to.
Quarterback draw isn't that great in NCAA football.
See,
it doesn't work every time.
You know, I don't know.
Every now and then. Like,
I can't speak to these things.
Maybe one out of every four.
I can't speak to these things.
Now, and this is weird, I would play with Iowa.
Shocker.com.
And the pass play. Well, the seams every time. You go seams and you press Y. That's going to be open almost every time.
Okay.
It's going to be open almost every single time. But if I wanted to go play action, you got to read. There's a play action pass. I can't remember exactly what it's called, but your wide out, that split wide out right, is just running a go route. Then your receiver on the other side is running a crosser. And then your tight end is running a post to the boundary.
Good action. Good route combination is what the kids say.
But what you got to do, you read the safety or the linebacker, whoever's covering the tight end. If they bite on your play action, that tight end is going to be wide open for 20 yards every single time.
See? There you go.
Every single time.
There you go.
I love
that. There you go.
A lot of respect to you. That's a heck of a question.
You've got mail.
Got to read that safety.
Yeah.
Got to read it.
Yeah.
From Nostra Dumbass. Nick, I've heard a lot the last few days about how hard it is to win with a backup walk-on QB. Others will quickly state that Bunch is actually a third stringer because Jebbia left.
Yeah.
I'll go a few steps farther. What if Vedrill got a clean transfer? What if O'Brien didn't leave in the spring? How about if Tanner Lee doesn't leave early?
Uh-oh. Now we're getting crazy. We're saying he's a hypothetical, like, sixth string?
Yes. Suppose the University of Nebraska became some bizarro Hotel California in January where QBs can transfer in, but they can never leave.
I like the Eagles reference.
What would the QB depth chart look like?
Well, here's the thing. I think Bunch would be ahead of Patrick O'Brien.
I agree. I think he'd be ahead of Tanner Lee.
I'm not so sure he wouldn't be ahead of Tanner Lee, even though it's kind of hard to say that you're talking about Tanner Lee, who's like on an NFL roster. But from a standpoint of fit, I don't know.
Well,
I mean, Bunch, it's hard. I mean, Bunch didn't really show me a lot on Saturday. But it's hard to get a sense of what... It's hard for me to get a sense of what Bunch can and can't do based on what was called. I have to assume because of what wasn't called, he struggles to do. But I think, let's say all those guys are still here. I think it's Martinez 1. I probably think it's Vedrill 2.
Yeah.
Then I'd go with Jebbia. Then maybe, I don't know. Then you flip a coin between Tanner Lee and Bunch. And then Patrick O'Brien is pulling up the rear. That's my guess. How about that, huh? How about that for a Hotel California answer?
A lot of respect to you. That's a heck of a question.
You've got mail.
Nebraska starting their sixth string quarterback.
There is nothing better than that. I love it.
So good. Maryland got close last year.
They did.
Maryland got close.
They did. That they did.
From Mike. Who do you believe has had the most impressive start to the NFL season? Fitzpatrick, Fitzmagic,
or Fitzmatchick,
Mahomes, or Khalil Mack.
The element of surprise is something that weighs into that. I mean, so it's like Mack is doing what he does. You know,
yeah,
like
I'm not surprised
I've been
by
impressed. I'm just not surprised because did he said the most impressive or most surprised? Is that what that
most impressive?
Most impressive. I would say, honestly, I'm not so sure. Who did Kansas City beat in the first week? The Chargers?
Mm-hmm. On the road.
So Chargers, man, I was going to say, like, it's hard. I mean, because you go, well, who is beating the better teams? Well, I mean, Fitz went to New Orleans and then just beat the Super Bowl, defending Super Bowl champs. I almost think you got to go Patty Mahomes, though. I mean,
What he's doing is ridiculous.
He's got 10 touchdowns through two games. He's won two games on the road, one at Pittsburgh and one at the Chargers. And I think the Chargers are like a team that could easily make you feel like could be in the playoffs. So I'll say Patrick Mahomes. You know what's hard about that one is I feel like he was a guy that, I watched play a little bit in college, but I kind of felt like I have a hard time assessing the Big 12. You know, you're kind of like, okay, he's just Texas Tech throws the ball 70 times a game, and there's an element of it's a hard to know what you're really looking at and gauge it based on the reference point of the what's happening. So I just didn't know what to expect, but yeah, I'd probably say Patrick Mahomes, to be honest with you.
Yes, and if he continue, he's not going to continue on this pace, but if he turns into a dude, I'll readily admit that I was very wrong about him.
Yeah.
Very wrong.
I mean, I can because, you know, as
but
I said,
it's only two games.
Nick says, are you nuts? Back-to-back 400-yard, four touchdown games? Fitz. I mean, to me,
it's close.
It's close. See, like,
I think we agree. Khalil Mack is third.
Khalil Mack's third.
Because he's doing his thing.
Yeah, he's just doing what he does.
That's him.
But man, I mean, both those guys, I mean, what Patrick Mahomes has done, though, it's just, I can't get over that element of like people forget, like, Fitz hasn't ever done anything like this, but Fitz has shown flashes before. Like, he had a good year with the Bills. He had a good year with the Jets.
Like, once or twice a year when that dude gets a chance to start, he'll throw for like 400, 500 yards.
Right. I mean, it's what Patrick Mahomes has done. I mean, 10 touchdowns, zero picks, completing almost 70% of his passes. It's nuts.
A lot of respect to you. That's a heck of a question.
You've got mail.
From Zach. Rewind to 1984.
Oh, man.
If you had the option to pick a grandpa when you were born,
oh my God,
would you choose Dana Altman or Greg McDermott?
Well, I think what you want out of your grandpa is a little bit more love and affection and a little bit more of like a warmer person. Out of your, you know what I mean? Grandparents are there to kind of spoil you, depending on your home life and all that stuff. But like, assuming you got, you know, you'd have two good parents and then your grandparents, like, grandparents are there to kind of support and love.
Right.
Your parents have to be the bad guy, more like the, hey, you discipline, all those things. So I would rather, Greg McDermott is a much more warmer person than Dana Altman is. So I would choose, Grandpa Mac in that one.
We got to go to the ice cream shop,
a quarter cone.
A lot of respect to you. That's a heck of a question.
You've got mail.
From Jeff.
Maybe.
What is you and your wife's respect level when the other parent disciplines Mava without your consent?
You know what's hard about that is it's, We're too early in the game to you know, like, disciplining. We're just at the point where we've, like, started to discipline Mava with timeouts and different things like that. Because at the end of the day, I feel like she's just recently started to pseudo-get what we're saying, you know, or understand what they should or shouldn't do. But even that, I mean, she's freaking 2.5, you know. So I honestly feel like check back with me in a couple of years on that. But at this point, I am totally behind, you know. The one thing is I'll say my wife is more of the disciplinarian right now with Mava than I am. So she does more of it than me.
I can't say I'm surprised.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it is right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kim has to be the bad guy. I'm always the good guy, which is.
See, and our daughter is much, much younger than Mava. But there's every once in a while where I bust out the middle name.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Because Maddie has, when she gets, and she knows.
Sometimes
what she's
they
doing.
Do. Yeah.
She knows what she's doing is wrong. Because she thinks about it first, and then she does it anyway.
There's times they'll look at you like,
"Yes," and
I'm gonna do it, and you're like, "Don't do it."
When she's really mad about something, she'll throw her food, and that's when the middle name comes out.
Yeah,
and she understands because then the tears come.
It's
knows
funny.
What
There's
that
been a
means.
Couple times I've raised the voice, and that we've gotten a lip quiver from her, and then I feel terrible.
A lot of respect to you. That's a heck of a question.
You've got mail.
From Matt.
Matt
Schick. If I recall correctly.
Uh-oh. This is either good or bad. We'll see.
Nick has said that Nebraska should schedule an FCS team to get an extra win and make up for the rainout game.
Uh-huh.
He has also said many times, in particular, Power 5 schools should not schedule games with FCS teams.
Right.
Especially when it comes to the SEC playing games late in the season.
Agree. Which is it, Nick?
Justify these conflicting viewpoints.
Well, I've always said in the midst
Change
of my stance.
Change my mind.
I've always said in the midst of my rants and stance with
in circumstances.
And circumstances.
And happenstances.
I've always said that until someone makes the SEC not do it, why would you not? Like, I mean, like, until someone forces them to schedule 9 conference games and until someone forces them to not play Mayonnaise Tech in mid-November, they're going to do it. You know, like, I've always said that my stance is more on, like, from a, like, it needs to be a nationwide mandate amongst college football. But if they're not going to do it, then, you know, I think you're almost foolish to not take advantage of the ridiculous loophole in things. And then at the end of the day, this is a one time, like, would I like to see Nebraska go away with scheduling FCF schools in the future? Yeah. But, I mean, we're talking about year one, Frost, a makeup game. Like, this is a very, very uber-specific scenario.
This is something that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen moving forward here. And again, my stance in saying they needed, I don't care if it's an FCF school or a group of five, you just need to win. Like, I don't care. It's just, you need to schedule a team that is going to come in here and take it on the chin. And so, yeah, I don't think I'm being hypocritical in that regard at all. I've always said that's something that there needs to be, like, a central governing body over college football that mandates nationwide scheduling parameters on how many conference games you play and whether or not you can play FCS schools. At this point, that isn't happening. The SEC and the ACC take advantage of it. And I think just for a one-time thing for Frost and Nebraska, given the cancellation of the Akron game, got no problem with them scheduling barbecue sauce A&M.
A lot of respect to you. That's a heck
barbecue
of a
sauce.
You've got mail.
That's my kind of team. That's my kind of universe.
I'd have a hard time cheering against barbecue sauce.
That's true.
Have a really hard time.
From Jeff. Barbecue sauce.
Barbecue sauce A&M is tight.
Be honest.
I've got a cold, and you're making me have like.
I'm sorry.
You're making me have like a smoker's cough over here.
All right.
Jeff, what are you and your wife's top 3 pet peeves about each other?
Oh, man. First thing that comes to my mind with her right now is she's into, and I think she does it just to rustle my jimmies. When she has an apple, you know, you have the little sticker on the apple?
Mm-hmm.
She, like, just leaves it on the counter. It's like, throw that away. Okay? Throw that away. Throw that away. Okay. Drives me freaking nuts. That's the first thing what she does that's driving me up the wall. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff I do that drives her freaking crazy. I don't put my clothes away a lot. Like, I'll do laundry and then I just have it kind of like, I don't put my clothes away, but that's pretty typical stuff. What else does she? I'm telling you that. I mean, come on, the sticker thing. It's like, yeah. You have an apple.
Throw it away.
Throw it away. I swear she does it just to mess with me.
She probably does.
Yeah.
And I respect it.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
Yeah. But man, yeah, I would say that's the main thing right now with her. I don't know if Jen's this way. If you ever do something something happens once and then they paint it like it happens all the time.
Yes.
And
yeah,
I was watching TV and like clipping my fingernails and I had like some of the nails sitting like on the arm rest of the chair I was sitting on and then I didn't throw them away. And, I mean, you would think that I am just all day, every day, taking my nails and clipping them and throwing them
places. All you're doing is clipping your nails.
Yeah. So, nail gate and then apple sticker gate is what's happening in my house right now. Okay?
See, and the pet peeve that Jen has for me is, and I cop to this, I set alarms on my phone that I don't always need.
Ooh.
All the time.
Be careful.
And so, every once in a while, one will go off really early in the morning because I forgot to turn it off.
Oh, man. Wake up the baby?
No. Okay, no. She's in her own room.
Right. Like, no, I know, but sometimes
we're straight.
We're close proximity enough from my room to or our room to Mava's room that a loud alarm not turned off in a timely fashion could be World War III.
No. And I'm straight. I just turn it off and I go right back to bed.
Oh, she is. Okay.
She has trouble going back to sleep. Yeah. So I get it.
I used to hate that Kim, when she used to work 7 to 7, she now works later hours, but she would set like 10 alarms from like 5 a.m. to like 5:30. And it's like, good God, dude. I mean, I'm telling a guy, like, one alarm goes off, I'm up. I don't need a 5 alarms. Like, come on. Alarms off, get your butt out of bed. Another thing I'm a loud person. She gets a little.
No way. No way.
I'm a big, I like, when I walk around the house, and if I'm in a good mood, I clap, and I'm like, you know, like, I'm. Like, I will clap different beats, and I'm like, sometimes a great gauge of how good of a mood I'm in is how much I'm clapping, and I'm yelling things at Mava in like a fun way and clapping, and I think my clap like pierces her eardrum.
It's funny because it's not surprising at all. At all.
So is that weird? Because Kim thinks that's like, do normal people just don't walk around the house like clapping?
I don't do
like,
that. I don't walk around the house.
I get
and
fired
clap.
Up. Like yesterday, it was like after dinner.
I don't got the clap.
Maeve and I were going to go on a walk. So it's like, you got to walk around like clapping, like getting excited about it. And Maeve gets excited about it. But I think Kim just wants to punch me in the face.
Yeah. Clap. The thing that I do that's kind of similar to that, but it's not an everyday thing. It's really just when I'm watching Iowa. And it's like, if they score like a big touchdown, like I find myself not being able to stop singing the Iowa Fight song.
Okay. But at a high volume?
But
no?
I'm not really singing it. I'm like, da, yeah. Da, 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 da.
Right?
And that just, it's just like, Mikey. It's just on repeat. And eventually she's like, okay, shut up.
See, Ben backed me up and said, dude, I clap around the house all the time. Whistle,
Ben,
too.
Ben's got the clap.
Ben's got the clap. Attaboy.
Nice.
Spread the clap.
Letter respect to you. That's a heck of a question.
You've got mail.
You don't clap a bunch around here.
Well, I can't. But, I mean, you hear
Why
me
not?
When I do, like,
yes,
when I
do
stuff
do
like
that.
That is me, like,
that.
I want to clap.
And the other thing that you do that I think it's, I think
probably
it's
a twitch of like, I want to.
It's contagious.
What do I do?
Because I do it and I've been made fun of for it.
Uh-oh.
Is when you turn on your mic, you press that button.
I double click
you
that thing.
You press it. It ain't double click. It's like 20 click.
That's why John gives me crap about that too. Bishop. Jerkstore.com.
Because in reality, you only have to press it once.
Hey.
I'm not making funny because I caught it. I do it too.
Yep.
And I like pressing buttons.
I do, too. Who doesn't like a good button?
From Chris. Do you think Frost's quote on buying in...
Yes, all right, here we go.
...could be directed to some of the players that were higher on the depth chart last year? And do you see that as a problem going forward?
See, here, you want to know my take on that? Like, my answer is no. You know what I think happened? And I don't know this to be true, but this is my thought. You know what my guess is on buy-in gate?
2018.
I think Frost has learned his first lesson about this market and the fan base and the media. I think Frost made just an off-the-cuff comment about buy-in, and that I don't think there's a huge buy-in problem. I really don't. I think he just, sometimes when things aren't going well, you go, you say things, right? Like you'll all of a sudden. You'll all of a sudden just shout out a cliche that maybe doesn't pertain to anything. I think it was an off-the-cuff comment where Frost was in a roundabout way. What he really was doing was expressing confidence. Because remember, he said, I know where this thing is headed and all that stuff. Like, I think he was just trying to... I honestly think there is this whole buy-in thing is overblown, and I think Frost regrets saying it. That's my read on it. I don't think there's a buy-in problem.
I could see that.
I think he learned his first lesson on just what, because I mean, this market, we are going to take everything. And again, the hard part about it to defend us is like, he brought it up on, so like he offered it up. He was the one that brought it up. And then when there's not a lot of other things of other information that we're privy to, and you combine the two losses, it certainly is. I'm not saying it wasn't a worthy storyline. It was. But I think it was an off-the-cuff comment that was just shouted out there.
See, and that's something that he could have gotten away with at Central Florida. and it right. would have been just
and no,
it would have
but,
been,
but here we it's take, different. I mean, we'll dissect, like, why did he pause for 4 seconds after, like, I mean, this is what we do, okay? I mean, just it's what we do. We got no life.
A lot of respect to you. That's a heck of a question.
You've got mail.
We have a ton more questions, but this will be the
last
one.
I went too long on a few of them.
From Ralph.
Maybe.
You get one chance to throw one punch with no repercussions,
ooh,
physically or legally,
ooh,
at Skip Bayless or Chris Berman. Who are you taking out?
Oh, I'm not going to punch Berman.
No,
I'm
why
team,
would you punch Berman?
A lot of people don't like Berman. I'm a Berman guy.
See, and Ralph goes on. He says, both faces are extremely punchable. I vote for Berman, so when you knock him down, you can yell back, gone.
See,
I like Berman. What's wrong with Chris?
NFL primetime with TJ and Boom is just an institution to me. I like Berman. So I you know what though? Because I work at Fox, I don't believe in coworker crime. I'm not punching anybody, Doug.
Lame.
I'm gonna punch the air.
Lame.
Right?
Would you punch Rob Parker?
No.
I'd punch Rob Parker.
I am not punching. I don't believe in punching.
I'd punch Skip Bayless. But you know what? The thing about Skip.
Skip. Hey, Skip. Skip, you know that's LeBron James.
Like 99.9% of his takes I wildly disagree with. But there's some things that he says about Tom Brady. Where I'm like,
that you likey?
That's one smart thing.
That he totally redeems himself?
That's one smart thing about you.
All right. I'm not going to punch anybody. I don't believe in punching people.
That's all I have to say about that.
Did the Cardinals just hit a home run, Nick?
Yeah. They did!
10 games left in the regular season. I'm feeling it.
But listen, baseball season's over.
No, right? It's not. It is not.
It's over.
It's alive and well.
That was fun. All right, I'm getting a lot of support from the clap. Martin claps, Kyle claps, everybody claps. You know there's the baby book, Everybody Poops? I'm going to write an adult book called Everyone Claps. It's going to be a New York Times bestseller. That's what's going to happen, okay? All right, let's get our Sage Rosenfels game right. He's a former NFL quarterback. He'll be able to speak about various things quarterback-wise in the NFL. We'll do it next.